With a heart to reach all of Iowa and every nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ, KLM International is pleased to present this message. Pastors Kenny and Nija Linhart of the Cathedral have traveled all over the world proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And we would like to thank our friends and partners for making this message available to you at no charge. If you would like to learn more about KLM International or its many ministries, including the Cathedral, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Once again, that's klmintl.com. And now, prepare to receive from God's Word.
Praise the Lord. James chapter 2. I want to read verse 1 through 4 to begin with. My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, "Here's a good seat for you," but say to the poor man, "You stand there," or "Sit on the floor by my feet," have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear. Now, in this section, James chapter 1 and James chapter 2, he's really letting us know that faith without action is what? And so what caused sin to become alive here? The action. It began in the heart, okay? It began in the heart when you thought that you might get something from somebody, or you might not receive something from somebody, but then he said, and he placed somebody who could give him something in return, a greater place in the house, somebody who couldn't give him anything, he sat on the floor by my feet. So he discriminated and became a judge with evil thoughts. That's important because sin is birthed through action, just like faith is birthed with action. And that's real important that we get a hold of that in the body of Christ, that just because you have the thought doesn't make it sin. How many of you know that Satan can speak to your mind? Demons can speak to your mind. It can actually dominate your mind. That's what oppression is, not possession. Possession is where you're consumed, dominated, and owned. Oppression is when it's from the outside in, but it just hammers and buffets over and over and over again. Do you know the difference? Okay. Well, if you possess something, you have ownership of it. You have a legal right to it. The nation of Haiti there's an island down in the Caribbean. One side speaks French, the other side speaks Spanish. The side that speaks French is called Haiti. The side that speaks Spanish is the Dominican Republic. And what the nation of Haiti did is it was a slave trader's island where they brought slaves from Africa, and basically they tried to make the slaves that did survive the trip healthy again, and then they would sell them in blocks to the United States and Central America, places like that in the Americas, okay? And Haiti became a nation. Its legal religion is voodoo and witchcraft. And to gain their independence from the slave traders, the slaves, the minorities, they made a compact, is what they called it, a covenant with Satan. And through that blood covenant, they revolted against the slave traders and the French and everybody else who was doing business there, and they became a nation. So see, until the nation rises up, Haiti, and declares they will no longer practice voodoo or witchcraft, Satan has a legal right to the people, to the nation, not to the individual's heart. And Haiti is one of the strongest places in the world for witchcraft. It came out of nations called Togo and Benin, and even dipped down into the Congo. Some nasty places that witchcraft really became strong, and they took that witchcraft and that voodoo and they adopted those practices as a nation so they could gain their independence and break the power of slavery. But it's not by power, not by might, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. Am I right? Okay. There is power in the spiritual realm. And I don't know how we got off on this, but you understand that Satan is on the outside of the Christian, and he may speak in through your ear gate, into your mind. Have you ever had a thought that you know didn't originate from you? Well, it's good. The more you get into the Word of God, the more you study the Word of God, the more time you spend praying in the Holy Spirit, you know, you'll recognize foreign thoughts. This is really important for the born-again Christian. Well, that's not my thought. I'm rejecting that. See, who you are, you're not a mind. You have a mind. You're a spirit, and your spirit has been made new. So these thoughts don't rise up out of your inner being. You know, if you have thoughts that are oppressing you, they're coming from the outside in. And the first thing you have to do is recognize it. If you keep thinking about it, it will get root. It'll become part of you. And if it fills your heart, then you're going to speak it and you're going to do it. The same way faith is born. So we'll go down to the bottom here. Well, verse 5 says, listen, my brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him? Now, let the poor say, I am. Let the poor say, I am rich. That's what the Word of God tells you to say. So listen, the kingdom that you will inherit is not in heaven, because you won't need wealth in heaven. You won't need gold and you won't need silver. The gates on that as you enter into the holy city in the heavenly realm, it's covered with jewels and gems. And gold is what they use to pave the streets. So you won't need those. You need the inheritance now. And if you'll spend time, write this down, Ephesians chapter 1. If you'll spend time reading that and processing it in faith, you'll begin to understand that God wants you to understand your inheritance now. The inheritance that belongs to the saints. And it takes the wisdom and revelation of the Word of God and of the Spirit. Amen? All right. Let's go down to verse 12. Let's go to verse 14. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Give me some words for deeds. What's another way of saying deeds? Action. What else? Works. Fruit. Yeah, that would be good, because action produces the fruit. Your faith with action connects you to the power of God, the nature of God, to produce God in and through you. Your faith with action, not just your belief. Your belief, your faith with action connects you to God's power. Your faith without action connects you to what? Hope, which is good, but it's not faith. Hope is an anchor for your faith. Okay, let's go on. In the same way, verse 17, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. And I'll say, baloney. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by my deeds. So guys, if you're to be a display window for the world to see God in the earth, how can you say, see God at work in my life, if you don't do anything with it? All right. You can't. But now, I'll show you my faith by what I do. And that's what the apostle is writing here. James is the Lord's brother. Verse 20, you foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Now, useless and dead are equivalent. I want to slip into Spanish, el mismo. They're very similar. Dead and useless in the Word of God is very similar. And so let the Bible define the Bible, especially in the book of James here, dead and useless are the same. Praise the Lord. Brother Don just went on to be with Jesus. Now, Don can do nothing on the earth anymore. So is he useless in the kingdom of God? Heavens no. He's in the throne room with Jesus. But he can do nothing on this earth anymore. When we leave this earth, we lose our authority on the earth. Okay, so that's why we don't pray to saints. That's why we don't pray to Mary. Because they have no power on the earth any longer. They have no dominion or authority on the earth any longer. That's why you don't pray to your grandmother who went on to be with Jesus. You're not to have conversations with those who've gone on. That's what the Word of God makes very plain. In the Old Testament, you're put to death for doing that. So God's pretty serious about that. But now Jesus is dead or alive? Does he have flesh or no? Yes, he has flesh. Now that's important. So flesh sits in the throne of God. Jesus still has authority on the earth. Adam messed it up, man. Jesus came and got it back, and he still has it. And he shares it with you. Now, there's a lot of people that, God bless their soul, they're meaning well and they're teaching well, but they're a little extreme. You don't have all authority in heaven and earth. He does. And what I'm going to teach you tonight, what I'm going to teach you tonight is how to exercise the authority God wants you to have through faith. Okay? Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to look, I believe, at verse 6. Now, if you get a chance, you should, just breeze through Hebrews chapter 11, not tonight, tomorrow, the next day, and look at all of these people who were walking by faith, and the Word of God makes it very clear, they did something with their faith. They just didn't believe, but they acted as if what they believed was coming to pass, okay, with expectation. So Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Now in 1 John, he makes it clear that those who have been born again, if you're going to find out somebody's been born again, or if a spirit is from God, if a spirit is from God or if it's from Satan, you have a litmus test. You have a surefire way to find out. Find out if that person will tell you Jesus came in the flesh. If they say Jesus didn't come in the flesh, it ain't of God. Come on. Same with Jesus is Lord. You can't say Jesus is Lord. You cannot say that if you're not born of God. Anyway. "And without faith it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." Now, what does he mean, believe that he exists and rewards? That's faith. So I'm going to give you 7 steps tonight that we are going to study out over the next couple weeks on Wednesday night of how to receive anything from God. 7 steps of how. I swore when I was in Bible school I would never teach 7 steps to nothing. But here I've got the message, praise the Lord. So you've got to be careful what you say in the presence of the Lord. So these are 7 steps. You know what? I said, "God, why are you making me do this?" And he said, "It's not for you, it's for them." Because you could remember 7 steps. I mean, I just seemed like everybody was packaging things up in mini books and 7 steps to this and 7 steps to that. But listen, these are 7 things that you must do to receive from God. And I'm going to just review them tonight. The first one is to know, write this down now, know, K-N-O-W, the will of God. And underneath that, I want you to break it out, because we're going to study this out in the scriptures. There are 2 types of knowing. The first type of knowing is to have knowledge of. The second type of knowing is the biblical type of knowing, the divine, you can use that word divine, type of knowing. Wow, that is bright. The divine type of knowing is to experience. Once you have experienced a knowing, once you have known and experienced it, nobody can ever take it away from you. That's why in the Congo, I ate rice with brown gravy and caterpillars because they served it to me. And I want, you know, when I'm an old man and I'm taking just a 5-minute break in my rocking chair and I got my great grandkids around, I want to tell them the things that I ate overseas. I experienced it. Did it taste good? Well, I don't know. The brown gravy tasted good. Just felt funny in your mouth. It's kind of like eating brain tacos, you know. They're kind of like Jell-O. It's just not what you think meat should taste like. But you can get them right up here on University. And Martin Luther King, brain tacos, they're pretty good. But good flavor, just feel funny. But see, I've experienced those. So you can't ever take... When I turned 30, I jumped out of an airplane just because I wanted to experience what I felt like to free fall. I'm not going to do it again. But you can never take that experience away from me. It is part of me. Now see, I could watch videos of jumping out of an airplane. And that is knowing, having knowledge of. But when I got out, it was just a little bit of plane, and they got out, it says, grab out, step out there on that wheel. And, you know, there's only a little platform, a little triangle like this. And I said, out on what? He said, that. I said, no. He said, yes, I did. And I got out there, I said, whoo, let go of the plane. No, let go, no. I can feel it right now. I got to hold on to this thing. I can feel it. Because I went through it. You don't have to try and get me to visualize it. I know what it's like to jump out of an airplane, and I don't want to do it again. I don't even want to go up in a hot air balloon, but I probably will someday. So there's two types of knowing. One is having knowledge of, and the other is experiential. And in the King James, it says that God created Adam and he created Eve. And then Adam, it said in one translation, laid with Eve, or Adam knew Eve. Very intimate, the type of knowing we're talking about. To know, to have experience, to become one with. And that's why in the Word of God in Galatians chapter 6 and Ephesians chapter 5, The other epistle is about how marriage and being born again and being one with Jesus, marriage is the only thing that comes close to describing it. Okay? John chapter 17, Jesus said, I want to be in them and them in me. You and me and me and them, so we'll be one. And when you are born again, see, that's that testifying, the knowing inside your spirit that God loves you. That's love. He shed that knowledge of that love inside of your heart. You experienced it. When you got born again, you were like, wow. I mean, nobody can ever take that away. And sometimes it's good to endeavor to get back to that place of knowing. Do you know what I mean? Keep that relationship with God fresh. Keep the want to in it. And so we're going to study... knowing the will of God, because faith begins where you know the will of God. All right, now there are two places that you're going to know, you're going to gain the knowledge of the will of God. Notice I did not say the Bible. There are two places you're going to gain the knowledge. One is more personal, and one is more... I got to be careful how I say this, but it's more to know or to learn, to acquire mentally, okay? So the very first place, and we begin knowing the will of God, is in the Word of God. So that's A, under one. And the Word of God, we'll find in the Greek, is... the written Word of God, put that in parentheses, written Word of God, is called the, anybody know? Logos, L-O-G-O-S, Logos. The written Word of God. And yes, you're almost right, because there are some places that Rhema is translated as written too, but Logos being the written Word of God, where God led the prophets and the apostles along by the Holy Spirit, and they wrote down. You see, no scripture came about by their will. or their interpretation. But the scripture came as God led them by the Holy Spirit, and they penned, or they made strokes on the paper, you could translate. They wrote on the parchment the thoughts of God. How many of you have ever stepped into that prophetic flow where your hand, I mean, you're not like a robot, but literally, you as fast, yeah, see, as fast as you can write, it's coming out. You're like, oh, I don't want to skip. I don't want to miss. I want to, you know. And I tell you what, those are some wonderful times. And every one of you can experience God giving you that type of revelation. So the first is the Logos. And I want to go to John chapter 1. We're just going to, I just want to whet your appetite for this series, because if you'll get this series into your heart and activate it, you can receive anything from God. Anything. The word Logos is right here, verse 1, John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through Him all things were made, and without Him nothing was made. In Him was the life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Praise the Lord. Jesus is the Word of God come in the flesh. Now, I want you to see something. Just put it up here in an area that you can meditate on it and ask God about it and study it out. Jesus walked out perfectly the Word of God. What Isaiah wrote, what was written in the Psalms, come on, even what was written in the Proverbs, what was written in the law. He walked out the Word. He manifested the Word. Whenever anything was spoken, written by God, Jesus manifested. Before Jesus was flesh, He created the universe. Come on. Nothing has been created that wasn't created by Him. The Word of God. Put your hand in front of your mouth. Say, word. Word. Now try and put some breath behind it. Word. You feel it? All right. Logos is written. Okay. Rhema, which we're going to talk about next, is spoken. It has breath to it. I feel it. There's a manifestation when I speak. I mean, I don't. If my hand were completely dry, I could feel the moisture as I speak, because we have so much fluid in our lungs and in our throat. And do you understand what I'm trying to say? Something's literally leaving my body in vibration. Now, if the Spirit is behind it, see, that's why your words can be life and they can be death, because there's something behind my words. And there's something behind your words other than breath. God spoke and He created Adam and Eve. He formed them, but then He breathed in them. So I want you to understand, He spoke, let us create man in our own image. And then He formed. Okay? Just keep that in the back of your mind. So the second type of knowing the will of God is in the spoken or revealed will of God. First is the written word of God. And I didn't say the spoken word of God. I said the spoken or revealed will of God, because I think it'll help you have a better understanding. You can't believe God for Him to take care of your needs if you don't believe it's His will. Even though you know the scripture says that my God shall supply all of your needs, take care of all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus, right? Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. We know those are scriptures. So what I just spoke was, the Logos, or the written word of God. But until it becomes rhema, alive, let's just put it this way, until you can feel it in your inner being, You don't really know. You have knowledge of, which is part of, but you have to have it in you. Everything that you have in you, you draw to you. If you have fear in you, then everything fearful will be drawn to you. If you have poverty in you, then lack and want and everything that will break, cause destruction, will be drawn to you. You'll never become wealthy if wealth isn't in you. That's why Jesus wanted to get in you, but you have to work him out. There is a deed, an action, and a work to drawing out what is in you. And that's what we're going to study. Because first, the first step is to know the will of God. Not just know. Okay, I quote this scripture. Well, praise the Lord. So could the Pharisees. And so could the Sadducees. They had little boxes on their head. They had they had scripture all over. They had scripture. They could quote. They could tell you what the word of God said. But they didn't know it. Now, when you know, and you know, so one, it enters through. Okay, you remember out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth what? And I want you to anatomy 101 of your body, of your man, of who you are. You are your inner man, who you truly are, who is eternal, is a spirit. Not goofy like Casper the ghost or stuff like that. You are a spirit, and flesh is wrapped around it. Without your spirit, the flesh will have nothing to hold on to, and it will decompose and go back to the dust. And because your spirit has flesh, you also have a soul. God breathes. He had a body. God breathed his spirit into the nostril of Adam, and Adam became a living soul. That is your individuality, what marks you, your memory, your emotions. Your memory, your emotions. Everybody say memory. The way you think. If you look through right now, if you look through the green part of these, you don't see the sun, but you see a green tinted sun, right? Everything that you pick up in this realm naturally goes through the filter of your mind, and it taints what you actually see. It transforms it. It changes it. I was just speaking to somebody today, and they said, well, she always said, and he said, and she said. I said, well, you have to, I think he's a liar. Hold on now. Maybe that's what she really saw. If you have an accident on the corner of MLK and Crocker, and you have six witnesses, guess what you'll get? You'll get six different stories. Because everybody interprets what they see through the veil of their emotions, the veil of their mind. We're still talking about knowing the will of God. Everybody say will of God. So you know the will of God by the logos. That's how you discover it. That's the tool that you have in your hand to sift the gold out of this world and out of Revelation. You get the word of God in you. It goes into your mind, your soul. And the word of God is to govern your soul. Everybody say govern. What does that mean? Everything that I think is supposed to be in line with the word of God. If it's not, then I take the anointing of Christ, the power of God, and I take that thought captive and I cast it out, or I isolate it, or I crush it. I can do that with the spirit, and I can do that with a word. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. So you discover the will of God, and you have to know the will of God first in the Word. Now, the Word of God is not just mental. It's spiritual. It's living. It's active. That's why it can get down in there, and it'll ignite. It'll provoke the Spirit of God in Revelation, all right? But if you don't cause your mind to be governed by, and that's your job, if you don't do it, you're going to be a wishy-washy Christian. I want to believe, but. I know God wants to heal me, but. I know God wants to provide me, but take the but out of your language and say, it's God's will. It's God's. How do I know? Because it's in His Word. Now, the second place, that's your logos. That's renewing your mind. That's where that thing starts. That's where you provoke and you deposit, okay? And that's into the in your anatomy, into the heart, the mixing chamber of your spirit and your mind. That's why, you know, you can be blessing God and praising God 1 minute, and then you could be almost cursing out your spouse the next. Because there's two flows here into your heart. There's your spirit, and spiritual things rise. You could remember that revelation rises up into your heart. Thoughts descend, and they come into the mixing place of your heart. And God has given you the ability, if you'll access it, to put a little bit of space between what's in your heart and what comes out of your mouth. It's not very big. You can develop that. But you don't want to govern. Listen, you don't want to govern what comes out of your heart only by discipline. That's going to lead to a very pharisaical life. I think I made that word up, pharisaical. I don't mean like from a pharmacy. I mean like a Pharisee. It can lead to a very legalistic life, and you'll never access the power of God on a consistent basis doing that. You've got to change what's in your heart. There's only two ways to do that. You get into the Word, and you renew your mind with the written Word of God. Hello. And then you let the revelation of God, the time that you're spending with Him, knowing. Remember when I was talking about writing as fast as you can? Or you get into the prayer closet, like Steve does, and you begin to pray out in the Holy Ghost, and then, you know, all of a sudden something English comes out. And that comes out, and you say it, and you go, oh, that's too good to believe. But then that becomes experience, where you have a vision. Or when the heavens are open, like, you know, when the anointing is present, and it's just, you know, when I'm around Pastor Bill. And other men of God, when the anointing's on him, man, I mean, I see this clear, and he's over here. I can't tell you how many times somebody said, what scripture did he just say? He was sitting next to me. I said, I wasn't there. I'm just writing down what God's speaking to me because there's an open heaven. Well, that's the type of knowing nobody can take from you except yourself. How can you take it from yourself? How can you allow yourself not to access that promise, that goodness, that revelation? Let it come in part of your life. Your thoughts aren't governed by the logos, by the written word. The two have to agree. When I got born again, and I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I said yes to the ministry, I said, you're going to have to teach me. And one of the very first things he told me, he said, if you see it in your spirit and your mind will agree with it, when you speak it out of your mouth, creative miracles will manifest. I said, what do you say? It's so foreign to me. He said, if you see it in your spirit and your mind, you notice he didn't say your mind absolutely accepts it. He said your mind will agree with it. If you can't get that thing, at least get it neutral. And let the Word of God come out of your mouth, and the creative miracles of God will manifest. And I said to him, because he's so patient, I said, would you say that to me again? He said, if you see it in your spirit and your mind will agree with it, when you speak it out of your mouth, creative miracles will manifest. See, you can't take that away from me. And then he took me to Bible school to show me what he was teaching me was in the Bible. Praise the Lord. And he took me to heaven one Sunday morning, and he spoke to me about it himself. I thought I believed it when he said it to me the first time. I thought I believed it when I came out of Bible school. He showed me. You can't take that away from me. All right, number 2. Fill your heart with His will. I did just kind of go through this. So the first A is to renew your mind. And we'll get into the scripture that is to transform, to metamorphosize your thinker. And I was sharing with somebody today, And we were talking about this, and I said, do you realize that you have to go back and change your thoughts and the way that you've thought about that memory? I said, what do you mean? I said, well, you got to not look at the other person, look at what you could have changed. Look at how you should have dealt it, and then change the memory. Let the memory be transformed. Oh, shoot, I should have done that. I should have done what the Word told me to do in that situation. Okay, and then guess what? Then you're changing, transforming your mind. Now, you don't have to go to, let the Holy Ghost lead you, but if you still are saying, well, that person never should have done that to me, you think, well, maybe you should have not been a fool and listened to the Holy Ghost when he's telling you to run.
Can I get an amen?
And you start tagging that thing, that memory, every time it comes up, yep, I should have listened to the Holy Ghost. He was trying to lead me into goodness. He was trying to lead me away from danger. He was trying to lead me away from temptation. I should have listened. And right there, he made it clear to me. He brought three people to me and told me to stay away from that person. Yet I still did it. So instead of the fault being theirs and it becoming something you can never overcome, you take the blame through repentance. And now you have authority in that situation. Praise the Lord. So the first is to renew your mind. And you do that with the washing of God's word and by the power and the anointing of the Spirit. And B is to cultivate. Everybody say cultivate. Cultivate revelation from your spirit. So this is what we're going to study out in part two, step number two, fill your heart with his will. First, you renew your mind with the word. Then you cultivate revelation from your spirit. How do you do that? Jesus said, my worshipers will worship in what? In spirit and in truth. So you got to get in the spirit. You got to get in the spirit. Now, listen, it's your nature to be in the spirit. You're not physical. You're spiritual. You got a body. Your nature, God made, he put his spirit in you that jealously longs for his spirit. So it's in you to want to be in his presence. It is not in you to be so busy. That's not your nature to be so busy that you can't spend time with God. It's not in your nature to be so consumed with the daily activities that you're not aware of his presence. That's not your nature. Your nature and your appetite is for him. And when you cultivate, it with the word. What does cultivate mean? You break up the soil. You put nutrients in it. Come on. You create an environment for something to grow. Now, I don't know what it is for you. Maybe for you, it's sitting in the empty church. Maybe for you, it's listening to music. Maybe for you, it's playing. I don't know. But there's God put it in you to a way to cultivate revelation. And that's what creates the knowing in here. And see, when you get full in here, it starts to rise up into your heart. And if your mind will just be in agreement with the word, then it's going to come out of your mouth. What are we talking about? How you can receive anything from God. And the first step is to know the will of God. And the second step is to fill your heart with the will of God. Say Raymond Logos. Logos. Say spirit and word. All right. Now the third step is to prepare. You cannot receive from God something you're not prepared to receive. He's not going to give you a baby if you don't have the... He's not going to give you a baby. Did you hear what I said? Some babies are here not because they're God's gift. I mean, God brought life to that baby, but he's not going to give you a baby unless you're prepared to be a mother or a father. Come on. You know, counseling folks, I hear all the time, well, you know I shouldn't have married that person. Hold on now. Were you born again when you got married? Yeah. Were they? Yeah. Sorry, God was in it. Because you made a covenant with him and he got in it. There ain't no after the fact with God type of thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Single people, you could be believing God for a spouse, but he's not going to use his power to bring you one until you become the man of God who can support the woman of God that God will bring you. And I'm not talking just financially. Ladies, you can be praying for a husband, but God's not going to bring you or release power to bring you that husband until you're prepared to be a godly wife. To give into the relationship, to submit one to another in the way that marriage is to be. Can you say amen? Since I was a little boy, because my punishment when I was 5 years old on, well, 4 to probably 10, if I got mouthy, if I got lippy, I had to read the book of James. I mean, I've read the book of James more than you could possibly imagine. And I still read it because I'm still getting stuff out of it. But I learned from when I was a little kid, I needed to pray for wisdom. And I still pray for wisdom. And if I were to ask you to pray for anything for Pastor, if there was only one thing you could pray every day, pray for wisdom for me. Because if I don't have wisdom, I can't hold wealth. If I don't have wisdom, I can't pastor God's people. If I don't have wisdom, come on. That's part of preparing. So the first step is to prepare. I jumped ahead again. First part is to prepare through wisdom. That's A. You prepare spiritually and mentally. God has always dealt with me in these simple words. Speaking of a harvest, if you're going to go to the orchard, you better build your basket first. Some of you are believing God to go on a missions trip or to give God. You're believing God to give a bunch of money to, but you don't have a checking account. You don't have a savings account. How can God bless your storehouse when you don't have one? Say amen, somebody. Oh, but first, you need to pray about discipline, because that's the wisdom. Not to be led by compulsion and need, but to be led by the Spirit in your spending. And being led by the Spirit doesn't mean there's a sale. And being led by the Spirit doesn't mean it's the only one left. And being led by the Spirit doesn't mean, well, you just happened to meet this guy on 12th Street and he happened to have a deal on. That is not being led. God does not lead that way. If there's any type of compulsion, it is not God, because he does not lead that way. If there's urgency to it, it is not God. Am I teaching you anything? Can you tell I believe this? I practice this. My goodness, there's some things, if I were led by compulsion, I'd go out and get right now. But I'm not going to get it until God tells me to get it and he gives me the money in advance. Come on. Heard one pastor say one of the best things you could do is go to Walmart and just to develop this discipline, walk through all the sale items and walk out with nothing. Plan on walking out with nothing. It's kind of like fasting. Come on. For some of you, be watching that Shopper Network TV and not buying anything. I just choose not to have that temptation, thank you. Come on. Don't take me into Bass Pro after hunting season when everything has the red tags on it. I'm not going in. You got to have wisdom. God's not going to give you $1 million if you've not been faithful with 1,000. And if you talking about preparing, wisdom. And we're really going to get into this, guys. If you don't know what you do with that $1 million, he's not going to get it to you. Because if the only thing you know is to spend it, what would you do with $1 million? Man, I'll tell you, 12 places I put $1 million right now. First place would be right in this roof. Second place would be in that filling station. And third place would be in a line of trolley buses that will line that flag park to go out and bring the people in. Buses that look like trolleys. It used to be a historic trolley stop right here. Come on. By that Bible school over there. by that for our media department and shipping and receiving. Over there for our fellowship hall, we're constantly be busy. Buy those for the boys and the girls at the Bible school. How much have you just spent? About $750,000 just on those two. If you don't know where... And if, listen, guys, can I be just blunt? You know I tend to be that way. Can I be real blunt? If you had $1 million, the first thing that you think is quitting your job and going to Hawaii, God ain't going to get no power to you. He's not going to release any power for you to get it. What does it say in the book of James? You ask with a wrong motive, that you spend it on your own selfish desire. There's a lot of people in the body of Christ, all they do is they... You can blame your praise and worship leader for this phrase. They burp and poop their wealth. They eat it. It's all they do. Come on. If you can't go 3 weeks without going out to eat, you're probably not going to have a lot of prosperity from the Lord. If all of your meals, I'm helping you now, I'm talking about wisdom. If all of your meals are, what's that little skillet hen guy? Hamburger Helper. And macaroni and Kraft macaroni and cheese. God's probably not going to release power in your life for provision for food. Why? Because you know you can buy a couple things of spices, and you could buy a bag of macaroni, and you could buy meat, and you could eat for a week on what, maybe 3 days for what you'd spend on one of those prepared meals. And it's going to be a whole lot better for you. So the first thing, how can you receive anything from God? First, you know the will of God. Second, you fill your heart with His will. Third, you prepare first with wisdom. Now, second is naturally. Everybody say naturally. Naturally. Anybody see Field of Dreams? Build it and they will come. Well, they will. If you know the will of God, if it's God's will for you to build it, yeah, build the thing. If it's God's will to have it there, build it. Build it and they'll come. Now, that's not equivalent to Scripture, but if you don't prepare naturally... What do I mean? Go out and open up a savings account with the $10 you got. Go out and make an agreement that you're going to have $50 withdrawn every week from your paycheck to go into an annuity, tax-deferred annuity. Naturally. Come on. Start getting up every day at 6:30 like you have a job so God can get you a job. Come on, what am I talking about? Natural things. I praise the Lord. I just believe God. I'm going to weigh 185 pounds, but then I'm eating a Snickers bar and never exercising. In the supernatural, there is a natural part and there is the power of God. And when you combine them, the super with the natural, you get the supernatural. Listen, I have to do some natural things, and faith without works is dead. Praise the Lord. Everybody say amen. How can I receive anything from God? 7 steps. Know the will of God. Fill your heart with the will of God. Prepare with wisdom and naturally. Now understand, when I say wisdom, I'm talking about God's perception, God's view, God's... I'm looking down. Perspective. I'm looking down so I can see everything from the throne of God. I see even in time, and I can see how things have to line up. And so what I do naturally has to line up with what I see. Okay. Number 4. Everybody say, sow a seed. And in sowing a seed, you have to release the seed. And we'll talk about this. But everybody say release. This is how you have to sow a seed for your faith. For, guys, listen, there's a difference between giving and receiving and seed time and harvest. seed time and harvest is natural. Giving and receiving is spiritual. And in seed time and harvest, is everybody listening? You have to release something from you to the ground. You have to release something from you to God. So when we're talking about this type of receiving and how to receive from God, when I say release, help me, Lord. When I say release the seed, it is a point of contact. You remember how we talked about doing something aggressive with your forgiveness and sending an email, sending a text, so you have a marker in time that you can go back to, so you say, hey, head, I don't care what you're trying to think or what you're trying to feel. Listen, emotions, you get in line. I made the decision when I pushed send. I made the decision when I sent that letter. I made the decision when I hugged that person, when I did something. When you sow the seed, and I'm talking seed time and harvest, you're literally giving yourself a time, date, stamp that you can settle the issue. So your believing was made manifest with the work. Are you hearing me? So when you say, well, I'm still believing. No, you believed. Now, the second part of this is release the seed, and we'll come back to that. The second part of this is in like manner or in the same class. Pastor Josh touched on it tonight. The seed that you sow has to be in the same class. In other words, you know, you're not going to take an orange seed and expect an apple. You're not going to plant a banana seed and expect cherries, right? If you want bananas, you're going to plant a little small itty bitty teeny, that's the little black things in there when you cut it up. You're going to plant a banana seed, right? You know something that's very interesting about seed, and I'll just... When an apple falls from the tree, what's inside that apple? Mm-hmm. How many apples are in each seed? Don't know. But I do know how many seeds are in the apple, but here's what's really interesting. The way God made it is some fruit is for eating. Some fruit is for fertilizing, preparing the soil. Because when an apple falls, what happens to the apple if you don't pick it up? You ever stepped on one? It's all gushy. What's happening? It's decomposing. What's happening? Nitrates are going in the soil. So the fruit that is not eaten becomes fruit to cause the seed to grow into another tree. Isn't God cool? That's really cool. All right, you guys didn't get a ooh and all about that. I thought it was awesome. So the seed that you sow has to be in the like manner. Pastor Josh said, if you want a friend, well, come on, smile at somebody and shake their hand and introduce yourself. If you don't want friends, gossip and murmur and talk about people. Because they'll run from that. Come on. If you want debt forgiveness, if you want God to supernaturally forgive your debt, then maybe you should help somebody and pay off some of their debt. And when you sow that seed, see what happens is not only do you activate the spiritual part, the power of God, but you also time date stamp. Do you know what I mean? Like when you take a picture and it's in the corner. You time date stamp your faith and said, that's when I put it in the ground. That's when God got it. That's when God was responsible for it. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how he's going to do it. And it's not my job. I'm just a farmer. And I put the seed in the ground for whatever it is. And I'm going to let God do. Amen? All right, let's go on to the next one. The next one is to pray. Hold on, I thought that was my seed. No, it was not. There are two parts to pray. Speak. There's no such thing as a silent prayer. That's called a thought. Do this. Speak. Put your hand in front of your mouth. Say, speak. Put your hand in front of your mouth. Come on, Greg. Put your hand right in front of your mouth and say, speak. Do you feel it? You're releasing something. That's what prayer is. Prayer is audible. Prayer is not silent. You can meditate on the promises. But if you're going to pray, you must speak. Now, guys, listen. The Chinese used to make fun of the Americans because Americans would, in their business philosophy, they would say, ready, shoot, aim. That's what the Chinese said we said when it came to business. The Chinese would spend a lot of time preparing and getting ready, and then they'd shoot. Then they'd fire. Ready, fire, aim. That's what most of the Christian world does. And we're supposed to say, ready, listen to the word of God, spend a time in the Spirit, know His will of God. No. Is it time yet, Lord? I sowed my seed. Now I pray. When do you pray? Listen, you don't pray. Listen very clear. I'm gonna mess you up. I'm going to mess up that religious spirit. You don't pray when you don't believe. Not the prayer of faith. You can pray to know the will of God. Once you know the will of God and the timing of God, now you're praying in faith. I'll give you this example and we'll go on. When Kyle was still, when he was probably just a little boy, there's this, you know where that big development is by the police department and all that, and where all the, that was all cornfields. When Pastor Needs and I moved up to Ankeny in 2001. I remember I was walking through those cornfields. Now it's a huge development. It's one-third of the city of Ankeny, and it's all being developed. I walked through there, and I knew that land was going to be worth something. I mean, it was just gravel roads at the time. And I said, God, listen, I said, God, can I ask you for this? Can I ask you for this land? Because I could see the potential of it. It wasn't a matter of money. It was just a matter of whether it was His will. Can I ask you for this land? He said, no, I have something better for you. I'd rather you not. I never asked him about it again. And when I saw that get purchased, and when I saw it get taken out of farmland and start to put sewers and stuff like that and water in there and curbs, and now there's the biggest part of the city in there, I mean, yeah, there would have been a lot of money to be made. There would have been a lot of wealth to be transferred. But it wasn't His will for me. You can't pray in faith until you know His will. So when you pray, I'm talking about how to receive anything from God. You got to know, and then you got to know it's time. Otherwise, you're just... means nothing to God because there's no faith in it. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You have to have faith for Him to hear you. You have to know it's His will for Him to hear you. And if you know it's His will, He'll hear you and He'll give you anything you ask. So maybe you better find out if it's His will. Okay, I know it's His will, but it's His will for right now, today. That's why you got to spend time in the Spirit. You guys are out there, so many people are out there like, you know, they got a machine gun and they're praying, just hoping they hit something. We need to pray like it's a highly tuned in, zeroed in, scoped rifle. It's not a shotgun with God. We used to say in business, just throw it up against the wall and whatever sticks, sticks. Now you know, man. When you pray, I'm talking about praying to receive. Go to Mark chapter 11. I didn't mean to go there, but I'm going to. Verse 23. Truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt, not in his head, but in his heart, but believes what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and what? It will be yours. Do you guys notice it doesn't say believing that you're receiving? When you know from the Word of God it's yours, and you experientially know that it's yours in the Spirit, and then the Spirit testifies with you, listen guys, listen very carefully, now. When He says now, did you feel that? When He says now, did you feel that? When He says now, that's when you speak it out in faith. Well, what about confession? The Word of God talks about confession and profession of my faith. You know, most of your confessing, the way that you've learned it, has been renewing the mind. That's all you're doing. And that's good. But don't confuse that with praying in faith. Because everything lines up when you pray in faith. Your spirit, your soul, and your body. What do they line up to? The truth that's in your spirit that's revealed by the word, and you have ownership of it, therefore it comes out of your heart. And God will give you the season. Come on, there are prayers I cannot pray yet. Well, all things are yours in Christ Jesus. Yeah, but you know, he's got a better perspective on this thing, and he knows, you know, when I can handle it, when I can't. All right, number six. We're going to go two more, and I'm going to be brief, and then, are you guys okay? Praise the Lord. Number six is to receive. Everybody say receive. Seven steps of how to receive anything from God. First, you must know his will. Second, you must fill your heart with his will. Third, you must prepare. Fourth, you must sow a seed. Five, you must pray. Six, you must receive. I got two subcategories. A is to expect. If you don't expect, when somebody gets pregnant, what do they say? Are you expecting? 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 Now, I'm done expecting that way, praise the Lord. I might take one or two, you know, get them after they've been weaned and stuff, but haven't convinced my wife of that yet. That's part of knowing. Amen. But when you receive the seed of God's word and it begins to take root and life, then there is an expectation before the delivery. And so maybe you start reading up on how to be a mama and what breastfeeding is all about. And you begin to research, you know, am I going to get time off of work? Or are we prepared financially for this? What do we need to do and make changes? Instead of going out to eat and stuff, maybe we should cut the cable bill because we've got to buy diapers. And, you know, you begin to change. There's an expectation that manifests. I mean, about the eighth month, I mean, around every corner, you're expecting. Oh, was that it? Oh, was that it? Oh, my toe felt funny. Was that it? You know, if it's your first baby. Oh, what was that? Oh, honey, I think I might. No, I think it was just gas. But you're expecting. You see, it's in the top of who you are. You're expecting. And faith without expectation is never going to manifest. And number two, in receiving, the Bible says, and I will go into this later, that we draw on the wells of salvation with what? Come on, somebody. Joy. Joy. God doesn't want a bunch of sourpuss Christians making it on through, just holding on. After all the believing and suffering. Come on, man, if you've really received it and you prayed in faith, there's joy because you believe that you've received it and you have it. Listen, you ask Pastor Nijas, she thought I was kind of weird. The first couple years that we were in marriage and ministry, she said, we get a $1,000 check in the mail or $10,000 check in the mail or, you know, somebody do this for us, somebody do that. And, you know, I wouldn't show any emotion at all because I showed all the emotion in the prayer closet. And listen, when you're in the spirit, you know that it's, yeah, I was expecting that. Praise the Lord. I'm glad they finally obeyed. Come on. Because, you see, if your joy comes when it comes and you were never in faith. Woo, look at that. Ah, she'd be dancing. And I'd be like, you look like one of them Charlie Brown Peanuts people dancing on a Christmas program. Why aren't you excited? I was excited. You'll see the list that I'm working on right now. I mean, when you get it, you know you got it. And then you got to not think it, you got to say it. You got to speak it into existence. All right, number seven, last one, is to, you enter his gates with thanksgiving, right? You express thanksgiving. Seven steps to receive anything from God. The thanksgiving doesn't come after it manifests. It comes before, because if you're waiting to give thanks until it comes, then your faith doesn't have much to do with it coming. That's why you get in here on Friday night and Saturday morning, you pray, and when you see this thing, you know, when I saw this done, I saw the inside of this building done 5 years ago, laying on my back. Pastor Josh was over there, and Johnny was over there, and Emily was over there, and Vinny was over there, and they were laying on their face. I was laying on my back, and I looked up, and I saw a stained glass. Whoa, I never knew there was stained glass. It was all covered, see? And I said, God, that's too big. Oh, that's too big, God. You got to show me. The next day, a guy showed up and said, can I take pictures of your church? This is a Proudfoot and Bird church. Here are the other four churches I just took pictures of. They all had stained glass domes. Every single one of them. Wow. You know, when I prayed and when I received it, right after that boy left? Because I already had it in me. But it was, I mean, to me, that was huge. I mean, we didn't have enough money. We weren't sure we were going to have electricity on the next week, let alone a stained glass dome.
Praise the Lord.
And the second, so the first part of expressing thanksgiving, listen very carefully, is transferring the glory. The second part that we'll study out is to, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, it says that your giving has... What is it manifested? Your giving has resulted in thanksgiving and praise to our God. So we lead others in thanksgiving. All right? So let me give you the seven steps and we'll close. Know the will of God. Number two, fill your heart with His will. Number three, prepare. Number four, sow the seed. Five, pray. Number six, receive. That's a step to receiving. Number seven, express thankfulness. All right, did you get anything out of this tonight? Amen. Now we're going to dig into the scripture over the next several Wednesday nights and get this in our heart, because I heard Brother Copeland say this one time and it didn't hit me wrong. It hit me so right. He said, Bill, listen to Bill Winston to him. He said, Bill, if I can't get it by faith, I don't want it in my house. I said, yeah. Yeah. I want it produced by faith because that's pleasing to God. I don't want to I don't want to earn it. I don't even want to trade dollars for it. If that's the way God does it, then He'd put the dollars in my hand. You understand? Praise God. That's good. Now, this is how you activate to receive in faith. Amen. All right, Pastor Josh, would you come up?
Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads tonight. Father, we thank You for Your word, so rich, so full of life and revelation. Lord, we thank You for the instruction and the revelation we received tonight about how to receive anything from You. Lord, we set our antennas and our faith to be expecting in the messages to come for further revelation. Lord, we are those who receive revelation in this house. We are those people of faith. And Lord, we take a moment right now. We jump ahead and we just lift our hands and we give You thanksgiving. Thank You, Jesus. Just raise your hands tonight. Just raise your hands. Just thank Him. Just thank Him for a moment. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Lord, we'll jump right to number seven right now. You're worthy of thanksgiving all the time. Every moment, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Lord, there's never a moment where You're not worthy of thanksgiving. We got things in our life right now that we've received by faith, and we thank You for them. We got things coming in the future, and they're coming by faith to the families represented here and to this house corporately that are coming by faith. Lord, we thank You for them in advance. We thank You for them. Amen. If you receive that, say amen tonight.
We hope that you are blessed by the word today. The friends and partners of KLM International make these messages available absolutely free. If you would like to partner with KLM International, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Your gifts and partnership ensure that this ministry continues all over the world to win the lost and equip the body, as well as to help establish a campus in the heart of Iowa to transform this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Consider joining with KLM International today. Once again, our website is www.klmintl.com.